Today's Shia's Mesechta's Vachem, Da Beis, we begin Beis HaShem Yisbarach, the new Mesechta, the new Seidah's Mesechta's Vachem, Seidah Kachim. Seidah Kachim primarily discusses the halachos of the Karbonis. There are no less than 142 mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay that are involved in Karbonis. And as the Rishonim, the Smag already, other Rishonim point to the obvious issue that one thinks about as we begin learning Mesechta Zvachim. Say the Kachim. The Karbonis, unfortunately, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, aren't necessarily relevant b'zman hazeh. So why are we going to spend so many hours and days working through sugyas, working through these Mesechtas? So the Smag already says, the mitzvah Limud HaTorah is not only limited to learning subjects that are relevant to halacha, but the mitzvah Limud HaTorah includes learning lishmar. There's a mitzvah to learn for the sake of learning. And particularly when one learns, say, the kachim, he is fulfilling that aspect of Limud HaTorah. He's fulfilling the aspect of learning Torah for the sake of learning. Moreover, as the Midrashim say, even though we unfortunately b'zman hazeh don't have the Karbonis, but on the contrary, through learning the halachos of the Karbonis, we are mekayim, we get as close as possible to fulfilling what Karbonis accomplish. There's an interesting Zoya. The Zoya says, Amar Rapinchas. Rapinchas says, I won't say in the Lashon HaZoyer, it's anyway a Ramish. One time I was walking in the street and I encountered Eliyahu HaNavi. And I asked Eliyahu HaNavi, says Rav Pinchas, tell me a piece of good advice. So Eliyahu HaNavi told him, he says, that every time we know a person does an Aveira, he creates Malachim, Malachim Ron. When he does a mitzvah, he creates good Malachim. And he says, when those Malachim come to the Olam HaEmes to say what the Aveira that this person did, if they find that this person is learning say the Kachim, they don't bother saying the Aveira, and on the contrary, instead of saying what the person did wrong, they only speak good about the person. That's the Koyach of say the Kachim. And the Chafetz Chaim goes on to say, we know the Chafetz Chaim was a very strong proponent of learning say the Kachim. The Chafetz Chaim goes on to say that if someone learns say the Kachim, particularly in a Chabura, if somebody learns say the Kachim in a group, he says that that is a skula, that is a way of preventing all tzaras, all type of harm coming to an individual who learns Kachim in a Chabura. Moreover, the Chafetz Chaim in a letter to Rav Shimon Shkop, writes that learning say the Kachim is the best antidote against somebody who is weak in Amunah. By learning say the Kachim, we strengthen in our Amunah, we become strong in our Amunah, and of course, the first element of the Amunah, one of the Yud Gimel Ikram that the Rambam says we have to believe, is an Imam of Amunah Shleima, Vias HaMashiach. We all believe that Mashiach will come, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we're going to need to know about the Hilchos Karbonis. So somebody who learns say the Kachim, it's the biggest testimony that he has Amunah. And who doesn't need to be strengthened in Amunah, which is, as we've actually discussed in Masechet Avodah Zarah, the first and most fundamental part of our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moreover, like the Chafetz Chaim says, if somebody is, the example I would use is before Pesach. So everybody starts preparing before Pesach. They clean their houses and they bake and they cook and whatever they have to do for Yontif. He says a person who lives with a Muna, that Mashiach is coming, has to prepare for Mashiach. So how do you prepare for Mashiach? Preparing for Mashiach is learning say the Kachim. A person who truly believes that Mashiach is coming will learn say the Kachim because he's going to need to know all about Karbonis when Mashiach comes b'meher b'yameinu. Why is a carbon brought? What is the purpose of a carbon? So the Rambam says clearly that a carbon is brought because we don't know what the pshat in kabbonis is. He says pshat in the kabbonis is that it's a chayk. It's like the category of mitzvahs that we don't understand the reasoning behind them. The Ramban says an interesting approach. The Ramban's approach is that if somebody did an aveir chas v'shalom, we know hanefesh hachotas he thomas, a person does an aveir is deserving rachman tzlon of misa. However, by the person bringing the carbon, the way most rishonim explain what the Ramban means is the person thinks to himself that everything that happened to the animal should have happened to me. Others explain what the way to understand it is. An intelligent, thinking person wouldn't do an Aveira. If a person does an Aveira, why did he do the Aveira? Because he became like a behemoth. So by connecting, so to speak, to the animal, he's, so to speak, recognizing where he went wrong. The problem with that approach is that only speaks about kabbonis that one brings for an Aveira. And as we're going to learn, Mitzvah Shem, there are many kabbonis that are not brought for an Aveira. So how do we understand how kabbonis are brought besides these approaches of the Rishonim? So the Chinuch has a very interesting approach. The Chinuch says as follows. If a person cares about something, if something is important to a person, he's willing to put effort and put energy into it. If it's not important to you, you don't really care. So he says, when somebody had to bring a carbon to the base, in the base of Mikdash, it involved a lot of energy. First of all, most people didn't live in Yerushalayim, and travel wasn't as easy as it is nowadays. They had to make it to Yerushalayim, and they had to bring along an animal, and they had to prepare the animal, and they had to all sorts of procedures that we're actually going to spend many months in Mitzvah Shem learning about. Exerting ourselves to become close to Hashem shows that that's important to us. And that's what carbon is all about. Karev, that we should try to be close to Hashem, and we should show that that's what is important to us. So perhaps bizman hazeh, that we don't have the actual kabbonis as we said earlier, but for Mitzvah Shem, all of us will put in kaiches and exert ourselves to try to understand Masechta Zvachim, that will show that we care about being close to Hashem, and that will be as if we brought a carbon. The first halacha that's discussed in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, is the concept of machshava, what thoughts are or aren't supposed to be there when one brings a carbon. As the Gemara says, we're going to hopefully get to it on the base, the Gemara says, L'shem shishadvar mazevach nizbach, every carbon that's brought, there's supposed to be six intentions. I'll just read the Gemara, it's on the bottom of Amud Beis. L'shem Zevach, L'shem Zeveach, L'shem Hashem, L'shem Ishem, L'shem Reach, L'shem Nechoyach. Those are the six purposes that one is supposed to have in mind when he brings a carbon. When you bring a carbon, and this is one of the most, if not the most fundamental point that I'm going to make, when we start learning Kachim, there are four avoidas. There are four procedures, four separate avoidas in the bringing of a carbon. Shechita, the slaughtering of the animal. Kabbalah, being mekabel the dam in a vessel. Halacha, transporting that dam to the mizbeach. And zrika, sprinkling, and again, there are specific rules in every carbon, on the mizbeach. Zrika is what affects the kapara. But actually, there's a fifth avoided by every carbon too. And that's the haktara. After all of this has been done, there's a haktara of burning the fats, whatever, of the carbon, the emerin, on the mizbeach. Clearly, the Rishonim say, the six positive machshavas that we just read from Amud Beis, the one is supposed to have as he brings a carbon, applies to all of the different procedures that we just identified. There are Rishonim that suggest that the machshava l'shem bailim, the machshava that I'm bringing it for this person, once it's past the zrika, there's no need to have that machshava, because the bailim already had his kapara, as I just said, through the zrika. Those are the positive machshavas, and those are the avoidas. But there are also negative machshavas that one is not supposed to have when one brings a carbon. One is what we know. We've everybody who learned Chumash knows the concept of pigul, that the Kohen, as he brings the carbon, has machshava chutz l'zmanoi, to eat the carbon that parts are eaten. Every carbon has a time by which it may be eaten. To eat it chutz l'zmanoi, or chutz l'mkoymoi, to take the carbon outside of where it's supposed to be at any given time. Both of them are pigul. We're not going to be discussing pigul today. That's not the beginning of the Masechta. Our Masechta begins with the machshava shloi l'shma, which, according to the Rishonim, is a separate lav, that you're not supposed to have a machsheva shloi l'shma as you bring a carbon. But when you think about shloi l'shma, there's two types of shloi l'shma. You can have a shloi l'shma of the carbon. That means I'm bringing a carbon shlomim, and I have in mind that I'm bringing a carbon oila. That's one type of shloi l'shma. Another type of shloi l'shma is shloi l'shem balam. It's your carbon. I'm supposed to be bringing the carbon on your behalf, and I have in mind somebody else. It is the opinion of most Rishonim that the Shloi Lishma, the first Shloi Lishma that I spoke about, that you had in mind that it's not this carbon, it's another type of carbon, is applicable by all four procedures that I identified. Kabbalah Halacha, Shchita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika. Regarding Shinui Bailim, Machloitis Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that Shinui Bailim is also by all four avodos, the opinion of the Rambam. Tosfos says that no. Shinui Bailim, and the way we explained it, it's very schmack. Shinui Bailim is only regarding Zrika. Because Zrika is what the Bailim are looking for, because the Zrika is what brings you to Kapara. However, one should not misunderstand what Tosfos means. It doesn't mean, according to Tosfos, that you could only have this machshava shloi l'shem balam by zrika. You could have by shchita kabbalah halacha also. Just you do the shchita. If you do the shchita according to Tosfos, we're not having the real owner in mind. You haven't done anything wrong. You've done something wrong, but you haven't disqualified the carbon. What does it mean? That I did the kohen did the shchita with a mind to do the zrika, not on behalf of the true owner of the carbon, but rather on behalf of someone else. Sort of Kabbalah, sort of Halacha, that he did it, they did that with the intention to do the Zrika improperly. That's the subject matter of this Mishnah and the Gemara that we begin. So begins one more point. This is all by Karban Yochid, by Karban Tzibur. You know the Karbanot that the Tzibur has to bring. Every day they had to bring a Karban Tamid. Every Yontif, every Shabbos, that bring Kabbonis. Certainly, there is no concept of Shinui Bailim by Karban Tzibur, because the Tzibur, there is no Bailim. There's no specific owner. Machlokes Rishonim, if there's Shinui Shem, can one have Kavana to have a different, if you had that wrong Kavana on what type of carbon are you bringing, is that applicable by Shinui, by Kabbonis Tzibur? So begins the Mishnah, by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach. If somebody brings a carbon shloi l'shma, the halacha is ksherim, that he's done what the carbon is kosher, as shloi olu l'balim l'shem chayva. The person didn't fulfill his obligation because the carbon is not considered that it was done properly. Ask the poskim already. So I brought a carbon. I did what I was supposed to do. Not a kohen didn't have the right machshava. So I have to bring another carbon. Must he compensate me? So the Paiskim say, yes, he has to compensate me. He was mazik me. The only nafkamina will be, and this is important, we're going to discuss this soon in the Gemara, there are two types of carbonas that one donates. There's a carbon of Harei Zu, and there's a carbon of Harei Olai. Harei Zu is known as an adava. Harei Olai is known as a nether. Harei Olai means that I donated a carbon. And what it means is, if I donated a carbon, I took upon myself to bring a carbon, and then if something happens to that animal that I designated, I'm going to have to bring a different one. So there, I brought this nedava, and the kohen had the raw machshava, and now I have to bring another carbon, he's going to have to compensate me. But if I said harezu, and the kohen, and then the kohen had the raw machshava, he did the wrong thing, as I said before, he was over a lav, but I don't have any financial loss, because I don't have to replace it. If it was harezu, it's only this specific animal, and then the kohen wouldn't have to compensate me. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, there's a concept, it's a concept that we've learned together, of that one could say to a shliach, "Letkuni shidaticha v'loy la'afsi." When I appoint a shliach, I appoint him to do for me something positive, to benefit me, not to cause me problems. So why can't we say to the Kayin, "I didn't appoint you to have the wrong machshava"? Answer the Rishonim, so make the claim. Make the claim, "Letkuni shidaticha v'loy la'afsi." So what would that help? At the end of the day, the carbon wasn't brought the way it was supposed to be, and therefore I haven't accomplished anything. Some take this vart even a step further. They take the vart a step further. If we're going to say that we're negating everything that the kohen who's my shliach doing, because l'tikun shatich v'lo la'afsi, then the shechita is not an act of shechita either. So we just have a nevela here. So I don't have any accomplishment by saying l'tikun shatich v'lo la'afsi. Very big machlokes rishonim, a fundamental machlokes rishonim. When we speak about a machsheva shaloi lishma, what does that mean? Doesn't mean shaloi lishma, that the kohen just had that machsheva, he thought the wrong thought, and instead of thinking about a carbon oiler, he thought it's going to be a carbon shlomim, or does he have to be considered a machsheva shaloi lishma, it has to be articulated. Very big machlokes rishonim. Some say that it has to be articulated, that's the opinion of Tosfos clearly. Other Rishonim say that no, it's not just if it's articulated, even if it's just if the kohen had the raw machshava, it disqualifies the carbon. And actually, there's a machlokes Rishonim on this machlokes Rishonim, which is very important. Because here we speak about a negative machshava. Machshava you're not supposed to have. You're not supposed to think about a different owner. You're not supposed to think about a different carbon. There are times you have to have a positive machshava, lishma. So the Rishonim debate, will this machlokes be connected to that machlokes? That the Rishonim that say that a negative machshava is accomplished just through machshava, so through a positive can be accomplished just through machshava. And the one that says you have to say it, it goes both ways, they travel together. There are, the Brisk Rav makes a point to say it's not necessarily that they travel together. And it could be, he says, very big chiddush, and we'll maybe understand it better as we get deeper into the shir. It could well be, says the Brisk Rav, that to be considered a machsheves psul, it's only a machsheves psul when you articulate it, but to have a positive machsheva, machsheva alone is adequate. Why? Why does the Brisk Rav say it? Because there's a very fundamental question, how to understand, and this goes through certainly this blot of Gemara, but almost every blot that we're going to learn these sugyas. How do we understand the machsheva shloi lishma? Do we understand machsheva shloi lishma as a new psul? That means the carbon is a fine carbon. The Torah is mechadish that if you have a machsheva shloi lishma, that disqualifies the carbon. And now Tosfos says that what is the definition of that psul when you said it? Or is pshat that you're supposed to have a machsheva, the carbon has to be brought lishma. If you had a machsheva shloi lishma, obviously, it's not being brought lishma. So it's not that shloi lishma is an independent iser. Shloi lishma represents the absence of lishma, because what could be a bigger proof of an absence of lishma other than shloi lishma? And we should think about this question as we learn the sugyas. I won't be able to say every time it's relevant. We can think about it together. So again, kol zocher shenizbuchu shloi lishma. And as I said earlier, it's not dafka the shechita, it's not dafka the zvicha, it's the other avoidus. So Rishonim says, so what does Mishnah speak about zvicha? Because zvicha is the first avoida. Kol ha'zvachim shenizbuchu shloi lishan k'sherim, as shloi olol baal m'shem chayva. Chutz min ha'pesach v'chattis. The only exception of Pesach chattis, there, if somebody had a machshev shloi lishma, the carbon is totally invalid. The mashah says al pi drush, why are Pesach and chattis different? It's a beautiful vart. He says, what happens when somebody does an Aveira? He gets distanced from Hashem. What is the purpose of the carbon? The purpose of the carbon is to draw him back closer to Hashem. So if your whole purpose of bringing a carbon is to be closer to Hashem, you should do it right. If you're not doing right, you're defeating your purpose. And he says that is really the purpose of Karban Pesach. We all know that in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was already a Memtes Shari Tumah. Very, very distanced from Hashem. And the Pesach represents our getting closer back to Hashem. If you're going to want to be close to Hashem, you got to do it right. Otherwise, you defeated your purpose. So, chutz mi'Pesach achatus. HaPesach bezmanai, we're going to discuss this, but certainly what Pesach bezmanai means that Erev Pesach in the afternoon, which is the time when the carbon Pesach was brought, that's when the Mishnah is paskening that if you draw the carbon in the improper machshava, you've disqualified it. V'chatus b'chozman, a carbon chatus at any time. So Mefarshim say, a carbon Pesach that the Mishnah has to say, Erev Pesach, we could understand, because any other time, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, a carbon Pesach is really just a shlomim. But chatus, why would I think it? There's no specific time that a chatus should be brought. So what does the Mishnah have to say? Chatus b'chozman. So I saw two answers. One answer is that since there are karma chattas that are limited to certain times, certain karma chattas are brought only on Yontif. So since a karma chattas is only brought, some karma chattas are brought in certain times, I would think that those karma chattas have the same din as a Pesach, and that's only bizmanoi that it's possible. Teaches us no, that this is a rule by Pesach, not by chattas. Others say, like this, because since we see Pesach and Chatas travel together, so we have to show you that they're not totally traveling together. Rebbe Lezer says, Afa Oshem. The Oshem is treated the same way as the Pesach and Chatas. And again, he repeats, HaPesach is Bizmanoi, V'Chatas for Oshem, B'Chozman, if you had the wrong Machshav, it becomes disqualified. The Rishonim say, that Oshem, when we speak about here, Oshem, is not just the Karban Oshem Vadai. We spoke a lot in Masech Tahoris about Oshem Talui. That Rebbe Lezer's ruling, his opinion, applies even to an Oshem Talui. I'm Rebbe Lezer. So Rebbe Lezer gives the basis for his reasoning. Hachatas Baal Chait for Oshem Baal Chait. Both the Karban Chatas and the Karban Oshem come because somebody did an Aveira. Ma Chatas Psula Shlo Lishma. By Chatas, everyone agrees that Shlo Lishma disqualifies the carbon. Asham post Shlo Lishma, so too is the din by carbon Asham. And as Tosfos points out, not all carbon Ashams are bought for an Aveira. But he says Asham Mitzayra, not Asham Mitzayra, but Asham Nazir is not bought for an Aveira. But he says not really all carbon Chattas are bought for Aveira either. Yeledis didn't do an Aveira. We just spoke about a Chattas that's brought on Yontif. There's no specific Aveira. So, since, with the way to understand the Mishnah, Taisa says most of these kabbanas are brought for Aveira. That doesn't mean all kabbanas are brought for an Aveira. Yoise Bechayni Omer, Haneshchotim L'Shem Pesach L'Shem Chatos, any carbon, not that was brought, and when it was brought, the intention was that it should be L'Shem Pesach L'Shem Chatos, Psulim, they become disqualified. Shimon HaChayezariah, and as Rashi points out, why was he called Shimon HaChayezariah? Shimon and Azariah were brothers. And Azariah, they had a Yisachar-Zvulun in relationship. Azariah supported Shimon. And that's why Shimon is always called Shimon Achai Azariah. And it's interesting, just to quote quickly, there's a beautiful tshuva in the Gris Moshe on the entire concept of Yisachar-Zvulun in relationships. And Moshe makes a very strong point. He says, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and you look in the Rambam, Yisachar-Zvulun in relationships are not mentioned in Hilchas Tzedakah. They're mentioned in Hilchas Talmud Torah. Because Yisachar-Zvulun relationships are not a relationship of tzedakah that I'm giving tzedakah to yeshiva, I'm giving tzedakah to a kollel. Yisachar-Zvulun relationship is a business relationship, it's a partnership. And all the rules of partnership apply. And Moshe makes a very interesting point. We learn together in the Masechta Baba Basra that apidin, I mean with certain conditions, not our sugya today, one could terminate employment in the middle of the day even. But the partnership can't be dissolved in the middle of the day. So he said the same thing with Yisachar Zvulun. If somebody enters into Yisachar Zvulun relationship, it's like a partner. Both partners have to agree to dissolve it. It can't just be that the Zvulun decides, you know what, I'm not supporting you anymore. But I saw that the Mefarshim do say, two more points, that normally when we have a partnership, if you and I are partners, so let's say at the end of the year we sit down, we make a cheshbon, and we divide the profits. It's not like that by Yisachar Zvulun. By Yisachar and Zvulun, Yisachar, even though he gave up 50% of his learning, he gets schar 100%. But then I saw some of Farshim say it goes the other way too. Let's say you have an individual who's a Zvulun, and he's interested in supporting Torah. And he goes to a Kohel Yingaman, and he says, I want you to learn, and I want to support you, I want to have a deal. And that person doesn't fulfill his part of the deal as he's supposed to. But the Zvulun fulfills his part perfectly. he gets the schar even if the other one wasn't learning as he should be. And also the Paiskim say that the Yisachar Zvulun deal don't necessarily have to be a 50-50 relationship. It doesn't have to be that the Zvulun has to support the Yisachar completely, give him everything that he needs, that would only be the only way we could have a Zvulun Yisachar relationship. So back to the Mishnah. Shimna Chayzaya Amma. Shachtan L'Shem Gavoy Mehen. If when somebody brought the carbon, he had in mind a carbon which is of a higher level of Kedusha. As we know, there's Kachi Kalim, there's Kachi Kachim. Kachi Kachim are carbon oil, carbon chattis, Kachim Kalim is carbon shlomim. We'll see more examples in a moment. So if he had in mind a higher level of Kedusha, Ksherim. L'Shem Namachman, but if he had in mind a lower level of Kedusha, Psulim. And explains the Mishnah. Ketzah, kachim kachim shachtim l'shem kachim kalim. If when he shachted the kachim, if when he brought the kachim kachim, he had in mind kachim kalim psulim. However, kachim kalim shachtim l'shem kachim kachim. If when he brought the kachim kachim, he had in mind when he brought the kachim kalim, he had in mind kachim kalim. Then it's ksherim. And then continues the Mishnah to teach us that within the general categories of kachim kachim and kachim kalim, there are also different levels of kedusha. Habachava meiser sheshachtem l'shem shlomim ksheirim. However, shlomim sheshachtem l'shem b'chol l'shem meiser psulim. Shlomim are considered a higher level of kedusha than b'chara meiser. The reason being, because on shlomim we have to do smicha, on shlomim we have to do tenufa, on shlomim the blood is sprinkled on all four corners of the mizbeach. By shlomim we have to bring along the sochem. All of these rules don't apply by Bechor Meiser. That's why Shlomim is considered a higher level than Bechor Meiser. And as the Rishonim point out, in Kachi Kachim, there are also different levels. Oil is considered a higher level than Chattis. But the Mishnah didn't find it necessary to give us every example. The Mishnah just wants to teach us two concepts. There's Kachi Kachim versus Kachim Kalim. And then, within the groupings, there are different levels of Kedusha too. Ask the Gemara. Lamle Lamisna Ella. Shloi Olu, let's go back to the first words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Azvachim Shnizbuchu Shloi Olu Shman Ksherim. Elu Shloi Olu L'Balam Shem Chayva. So ask the Gemara Allah, Melila Misna Elu Shloi Olu. Why does the Mishnah have to add that word Elu? Listen, even like Olu L'Balam L'Shem Chayva. As we know, the rule is, important rule, the Gemara Masech T'Psachim, La'olam Yishana Odom L'Talmidei Derech Tzara. A person should be as concise as possible in his speech. And therefore, the Mishnah's teaching, the Gemara's questioning, is even, and this is where the Mefarshim make the Gemara's question geschmack, even if one can make an argument that sometimes it's worth to be a little more wordy in your presentation, that's when you could prove that there's a value to it. The Gemara discusses that if you want to speak Bidlosh and Nekiyah, not use not nice words, even though it means a longer speech. But here, ask the Gemara, what does the Mishnah have to teach us, and what's the purpose of adding this word, one word, this word Ella? It's extraneous, superfluous. Lam lel misna Ella shlo alu. Listen, v'lo alu l'bal m'shem chayva. Answers the Gemara. Hok mashma. What is the Mishnah teaching us? L'bal hu d'lo alu m'shem chayva. Sometimes, in every case, when there was the wrong machshava, the carbon becomes disqualified to the degree that we learned in the Mishnah that the owner is going to have to bring another carbon. However, if it's not chattis and oila, chattis and pesach, there's still a carbon. And one can't and shouldn't have the raw machshava further. Which means as follows. They messed up. He had the raw machshava by the shechita. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is, one shouldn't take the attitude, I already, so to speak, had the raw machshava, so now I could do everything else with the wrong machshava, kamash malon, that no. There's that one should still have the right machshava. However, the achronim try to understand how far do we take this concept. Two examples that the questions that achronim saw. One can understand, say the achronim, by a case of shaloi l'shem carbon, that just because I didn't do the right machshava when I brought the carbon, that I did the shechita, I should at least do the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Zrik with the right Machshava. But what happens if I had a Shinui Bailam? So you're not going to get the credit for this carbon anyway. So will the Halacha that the Gemara is now teaching us, that you should still have the right Machshava, even though you're already, so to speak, messed up, apply? Or do we say that no? Shinui Bailam, once you already had Shinui Bailam, The owner is not getting credit, so it doesn't make a difference. One question. Another question is, as we already said at the beginning of our shiur, there are four avoidas in every carbon. And our Gemara is teaching us that just because you did the shechita with the wrong makshava, doesn't mean you should do so with the Kabbalah and the halacha of the Zrika. But what about, let's talk about the halacha. Let's say it'll take you 10 minutes to do the halacha. And at the first moment of the halacha, you had the wrong makshava. So the halacha is already not done properly. So at least is there a halacha that for the remainder of the halacha, I should have the right makshava? Or what the Gemara means is for the next avoida. But for this avoida, the Gemara doesn't care. So let's learn the Gemara. Maybe you see we can answer the question. Damarava. Even though the shechita was done improperly, do the zrika properly. Why? It says the Gemara by same svari by same kra. It's either based on a svara or on a pasuk. Ibai's aim is svara. The svara is v'shum the shani by kohani, because you made one mistake. Lishna bevelazel, should you continue making mistakes? You made one mistake, but that doesn't give you a license to make more mistakes. Ibai's aim, it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says ma'itzis v'secha tishma v'sisa kashnadat alashem lekecha nedava. So as the Gemara immediately points out, the pasuk is a very difficult pasuk to understand. We said earlier in our shir that there are two types of kabbonis. There's a neder and there's a nedava. Neder we said is a harei lai. Nedava we said is harei zu. Let's look at this pasuk. First the pasuk says nodarta, and then it calls it a nedava. Hai nedava. Ask the Gemara, why is the pasuk calling it a nedava? Nederhu. It's a neder. So is it a neder or is it a nedava? Answer the Gemara. What the pasuk is teaching us by this, it's very deliberate. If you did what you were supposed to, you had the proper machshava throughout, gevaldik. V'mlav, the dova yehei. It won't be what you promised, but it will be at least in the dova. In the dova mishar l'shnuyabay. And even if it's in the dova, that doesn't change your requirement to do it right. So I was thinking that maybe what the Gemara is trying to teach us is Ibai Seim Svar, Ibai Seim Akra, is to answer the question that the Achronim pose. If it's Ibai Svar, so as far as we made one mistake, why make another mistake? But that you can't say with Shinei Bailim, or that you can't say within one Avoida. So the Gemara says, if I only had a Svar, I would come up with Heterim, when you could continue making a mistake. So the Gemara says, it's not just a Svar, it's a Pasuk. The Pasuk doesn't give you a right. The Pasuk says, what you made a mistake, you made a mistake, but do it as well as possible. Tosfos asks that we know that this pasuk is the pasuk that teaches us the halacha about the akar. That if one is obligated to bring a carbon, he has to bring it by a certain time. So ask Tosfos, but when is one over about the akar? One is over about the akar before he brings the carbon. That if he didn't bring the carbon when he was supposed to. But we're applying the pasuk to after he brought the carbon. So how can we take a pasuk as Tosfos that talks about a situation before bringing the carbon to a situation about after bringing the carbon? And Tosfos, so to speak, says, you can take the pasuk both directions. But I saw a beautiful verse from the Brisker Rav, how he answers Tosfos' kasha. Brisker Rav says like this, what happens if somebody's obligated to bring a carbon? And he doesn't want to be over the lav about the acher, so he's careful to bring it in a timely fashion. Marm Sechta Rosh Hashanah, we learned, tells us when you're over about the acher. So he brought the carbon today, because you don't want to chas v'sham be over about the acher. And now what happened? The kohen brought it with the wrong machshava. And every carbon, that there's no exception to the rule, you don't get credit for that carbon. So now you have a new chiv to bring carbon. So you're back in Parsha Baal Ta'achar, because you have to make sure to bring the replacement in a timely fashion. So says the Brisker Rav, from here we see that Baal Ta'achar is not specifically limited to before we bring a carbon. Baal Ta'achar is also possible after you already brought the carbon, if it wasn't done right. Says the Gemara. Amalei Ravina L'Rapapa. Ravina said to Rapapa, La'avis kabon b'urta, b'tchuma, b'chermav. You didn't come to our shir Friday night because you weren't in the tchum. You know, on Shabbos, now I'll go past the tchum. Because you missed a great shir. The Rava Mila Mali Sahadadi, v'shanilu. Rava asked great questions and answered them. So just, the Paiskim actually say that this Gemara is a riot, is a famous question that the Paiskim discuss if in Shabbos you're allowed to learn the Iyun. Because learning B'iyun is hard work, and then sometimes it's not so geschmack, at least until you come to the end of the Gemara. So Shabbos is supposed to have an Oynik Shabbos. From our Gemara we see that they learned B'iyun on Shabbos. There was no vacation. Furthermore, I saw the Mefarshim, and this is important to say, even though it's not negated, Pshat and Gemara. He says, he said, Milim al Yisa. What is Milim al Yisa? He said it was nice things, Geshmaka things. The halacha is, the one is not allowed to say about Torah, this is Torah's night. You know, he's starting to learn Masechta Zvachim. You're not supposed to say Masechta Zvachim is a great Masechta. Because it implies that there's a Masechta that's not great. So some Paiskim can say, it's okay, you could say that this is a great Masechta, as long as you don't say that another Masechta is not. So then he could use the words Milim al Yisa. But the Paiskim can say, one has to be careful. Chas v'shom, again, how you talk is so important. And if you're going to say something that would chas v'shom cause the one should believe that you're denigrating Torah, how can you do that? So how can you say this Milim al Yisa, that this is Geshmak, implying that something's not Geshmak? So they say the Milim al Yisa wasn't that he was saying that this is Masechta Geshmak. He was saying the questions that he asked, the lomdus, was the shir was a Geshmak shir, that you're allowed to say. So he says, the Rami Milim Ayasa Hadadi, Rava asked great questions, mysterious contradiction, Bishonalay. Asked the Gemara, my Ayasa, what do you mean? He said, Tanan, we go back to the beginning of our Mishnah. Kalas Vachem Shnizbuch Shloy Lishmon, the requirements brought Shloy Lishmon. So what do we see? That's when you have a problem. So we see time of the Shloy Lishmon. It's because the carbon was brought Shloy Lishmon. Ha, what does that imply? Hastama. If you didn't have the Feirish and Machshava, Shloy Lishma, Ola Nami Labal Mashem Chayva. Alma. So what do we see from here? Stami Kalishmandam. Even if you didn't have a Feirish Machshava, Lishma, you just didn't have a Shloy Lishma Machshava, it's fine. Ask the Gemara Vermini, Kol Get, Shinnich to Shloy Lishem Isha. If a Get was written, not Lishem Isha, Apostle. And Alocha, as we will learn in tomorrow's Shir, Vistami Nami Apostle. That by get, even if you didn't have, explicit kavana for this man and woman, and all the kavanas that we'll discuss in tomorrow's shir, the get is possible. So here we see that stam is possible. So the Gemara's question, at least this is the way Rabbi Aaron Cutler explains the Gemara's question in Mishnah Sarbaran, is why by kachim is stam a kosher? And why by gitten is stam a possible? Answers the Gemara. Vishani, Zvachim, Vistam Lishman Oimdim. Zvachim, when you bring it, we could assume that Yistam brought it Lashem, the proper intent. Isha, Vistama, Lav, Ligerish, and Amedis. Couples aren't made to get divorced. And Taisha says, even if it's a couple that has to get divorced, let's say the Isha was Chas V'Shalom Mizana, she had an adulterous relationship, they don't have to get divorced. They're not allowed to live together, but they're not obligated to get divorced. And Taisus from Kivega discusses this, says even if they're already in a Din Torah, that doesn't mean that they're going to get divorced, and therefore we can't say Isha Ligerish and Amedis. So ask the Gemara, the Zvachim. So before we go further, this is where the Vart I said in the Mishnah needs to be repeated, because this is where it's actually said. The Gemara is being Mechadish now, that Zvachim Lishma, Stam Zvevach Lishma. So again, here we have the question, what does Stam Zevach Lishma mean? Doesn't mean that you have to have a Kavana Lishma, and Shaloi Lishma represents that you didn't. Or, and that's what the Brisker Rav suggests, Stam Zevach Lishma means, and that's what the Gemara is saying, you don't have to have a Kavana Lishma. A carbon is fine, without any Machshava, as long as you don't have that psul that you had the Shaloi Lishma Kavana. How do we know that halacha? Ilay mahadatnan. Perhaps it's from the words of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said, "Kol zvachim shnis b'chul shloi lishman." So the Mishnah said, "V'loik tani shloi nis b'chul lishman." The Mishnah only teaches us that if you did the negative, but the Mishnah didn't require that you do the positive. Asked that can't be a proof because gab get nami yok tani. The Mishnah Masechet Gittin says, "Kol get shenecht v'shloi l'shem ish apostle." The Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah doesn't say that only if you did the negative. The Mishnah says that the Mishnah only says that you didn't do the negative, and yet we know we're saying by Gittin, Stam is possible. So the wording of the Mishnah can't be the Raya. El Maha. That now, the Mishnah, we're going to learn further in Amasechta that we said by Pesach and Chatos. It's possible, and the Mishnah says that if you have a combination or hybrid of Lishma and Shlo Lishma, it's possible. And the Mishnah explained itself. If you brought the Karmel Lashem Pesach Lashlam Shlamim, that's when it's possible. So says the Gemara. Tama, why does it seem that that's the reason? Because the person had in Kavana, L'shem Pesach, and L'shem Shlomim. What does that seem to teach us? L'shem Pesach v'stama would be kosher. Alma, stama k'lishman dami. Because if stam is possible, what does the Mishnah have to teach us L'shem Pesach, L'shem Shlomim, as an example of psul? The Mishnah could have told us a much bigger chiddush. L'shem Pesach and stam, it's possible. Tam dam l'shem Pesach l'shlashem. L'shem Pesach l'stam k'kosher. Alma, isn't that a clear proof that stam k'lishman dami? And says the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from there. Since he started bringing the carbon properly, there, everybody will agree that stam is fine. Because we assume that you started properly, you continue properly. But we don't have a raya what the halacha will be in a different situation. Elam is safer. Let's use the safe of that Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, what is an example of shloi l'shman l'shman, l'shem shlom l'shem Pesach? So again, says the Gemara, it's specifically possible Tamadam l'shem shlom l'shem Pesach, which seems to indicate hostama l'shem Pesach would be kosher. So isn't that a proof that stam doesn't invalidate your carbon? Answers the Gemara. Two answers. Dilma, perhaps there it's different. Shani hosam da'om yachir soifat chilosai. Since he at the end had the proper machshava, if at the beginning it was stam, and we don't know how to attribute that stam, the end proves that that was his proper machshava, and the Sfasem says that this is a raya to the pshat that you have to say your machshava. So the fact that at the end he said clearly, I mean Pesach, that is the biggest indication that he was intending to do it right. Inami, it could well be, says the Gemara, that stam and l'shem Pesach is possible. So why doesn't the Mishnah over there tell me that chiddush, which is a bigger chiddush? Because the Mishnah wants to be consistent. I did the Tana. Since the first case had to be l'shman v'shloi l'shman, and there we said it had to be l'shem Pesach l'shem shlam, because otherwise we'll say kol ois al das v'shoyin ois. So for consistency reasons, taninami. That's why the Mishnah was consistent, and when it spoke about shloi l'shma v'lishma, it said l'shem shlam l'shem Pesach, but actually the same halacha would be if it was l'shem, it would be stam and l'shem Pesach the same.